Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us here in this place and in this time. Melt us, mold us, use us, God, that the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many of you have probably played the party game called telephone at some time in your life. In that game, one person tells a story to another, and then the story is carried around the whole room until each person in the room has heard it. And little by little, as the story is told, it changes along the way, until finally, there is only a slight resemblance of what was said at the very beginning. Our descriptions of a person are often like that. We may tell somebody what that person is like, and then that person will tell another person. And our descriptions get changed over time. So much of who we are tied up in how we describe others. To what extent has this happened with our understanding of Jesus? It's been 2,000 years at least since people first began to tell his story. And in that time, Jesus has given more than a few identities, been given more than a few identities. And we might wonder which, if any, he would recognize if he were here today. Even as early as his own lifetime, different people had different ideas about who he was and who he is. Some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets. And the misunderstandings of who people thought Jesus was certainly did not end with the resurrection. In fact, one might wonder if Jesus could sue for misrepresentation. A religious newspaper conducted a contest in which the artist from a variety of mediums and from a variety of different backgrounds, they were invited to paint or draw Jesus as they saw him. He appeared on canvas and on paper and at various ages and skin tones and different hairstyles and different demeanors. Each artist depicted the Jesus who had meaning for him or her, and they were very different. Actually, during this last 2,000 years, the historical Jesus of Nazareth roamed the roads of Palestine has been described by many artists and many philosophers, many theologians and religious leaders and military people, poets, and so on. And they have presented so many different versions of Jesus, enough that they would fill a gallery and then some. Unfortunately, many of these depictions, these understandings of Jesus, have been taken literally. For example, some have concluded that there were no women at the Last Supper because there weren't any women in the picture, even though the painting was made several hundred years after the fact. Lately, artists have begun to put women in the picture of the Last Supper and have been accused of attempting to alter history. I was surprised myself to see how Jesus was depicted in the largest cathedral in the Western Hemisphere, which is located in Washington, D.C., and in this Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, over their altar, there's a painting in mosaic, in little wee pieces of stone, colored stone. And when you look up there, you see a very stern-faced Jesus. In fact, it's probably the most stern depiction I've ever experienced of Jesus. And some of my Catholic friends told me, now you understand why you need to have a relationship with Mary, so that she can go to you, go to this stern Jesus on your behalf. Just as the opinions of the people spoken of in the gospel story today, and just as the artist's interpretations over the years have differed, there are too many, far too many different images of Jesus by people who believe him today. You know, I would imagine that if on this very day, if we sat here and talked about our image of Jesus, we would come up with some very different interpretations. And when you think about it, people all over the world today are worshiping in his name. This is Sunday, the Lord's Day. And think about it. People in two-thirds world countries remember Jesus as reaching out to the poor. There are people in this world of military background, even this day, who see Jesus as a kind of commander-in-chief. People of color understand firsthand the kind of discrimination to which Jesus was subjected, because they often are the victims also of discrimination. The Jesus of the scriptures was, and for the most part is, a nonviolent person. We speak of him as the Lamb of God who preached complete forgiveness. But history has used him as the person even to excuse some of the most violent conflicts. Think about the killings that took place in the name of Jesus during the Crusades. In our time, our own nation even has named a warship after him, the Corpus Christi. This is the Jesus who told us unequivocally not to judge, but who is used to excuse and to condemn people for things that he never even spoke about. So the question posed by Jesus in our gospel text today still stands. Who do you say that I am? Would we be caught off guard with that question as the disciples were in today's gospel? Would we assume that we already know as much as we need to know or even want to know about this man named Jesus? How much of our story resembles the real Jesus, the humble healer who always forgave? Often couples who are preparing for marriage, they'll come together for counseling and they'll say that they think they really know each other just about as much as they can, even if they've only known each other for a few months or even a year or so. They say that there's little that they need to know about each other that they don't already know. And yet anyone who has been married for any length of time knows the illusion that those statements betray. We may well fall into the same trap in our relationship to Jesus. We have heard the story of his birth. We know some of his miracles and even the stories that he told. We are aware of his horrendous death and his resurrection. And perhaps we have been labeled as Christians for all of or a good part of our lives. We can sing the hymns. We can recite the prayers. But do we really know the one whose name we profess our faith to and for whom we do all these things? Do we truly know this Jesus? When all is said and done, we probably approach him in one of two ways. Either we rely on what has been told to us and live with the Jesus of our childhood, or we humbly ask him to make himself known to us in a new and personal way. This last way requires that we leave our hearts open and quiet enough to listen to the answer. An answer which, as in any relationship, is ever evolving. Learning about someone through another is a good start. Our parents and our Sunday school teachers and our religious teachers from our childhoods and earlier parts of our lives may have given us a start, but that is what it was, a start. In the Gospel of John, we read of a woman who meets Jesus at the well. And then, in realizing that he is the Messiah, she goes and she tells her friends about this Jesus, and they go to meet him. Afterwards, they tell her, "No longer does our faith depend on your story. We have heard for ourselves, and we know." The stories we heard about Jesus have given us our start in understanding and knowing who this Jesus is. But they cannot maintain a relationship for us. They cannot maintain an ongoing, growing relationship. We have to hear him for ourselves, and that takes time. How much time are we truly willing to give on any given day? So we are left with two possibilities. Either we see Jesus as we are, perhaps one that is a mixture of compassion and judgment, a person who holds the positions we hold on a number of issues. We may assume that he would go along with the policies and prejudices of our government and our society. We may mold him into the kind of person at one time or another, and then at another time mold him into another, depending on our present situation. Or we may give ourselves the space for him, this Jesus, to speak to us, and then the time for us to listen. Much of what Jesus says in the gospel would give us more than a clue of who Jesus is. And what he taught reveals who he is. Back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, when dashboards were not padded and didn't have airbags and all, they were metal. And people added to their dashboards a little plastic figure that was called My Plastic Jesus. And from that, there was a book written, My Plastic Jesus. And you know, plastic is so marvelous. You know, we can mold it into what we want it to be. And oftentimes I think that's what our Jesus becomes. The moldable God or God figure that we want Jesus to be. Even different religions and different periods of history and different people have molded their idea of Jesus into their own image or likeness. But these images are often a far cry from whom he showed himself to be. Is this what faith is about, to create a Christ to our liking? Or is it to know him as he is? Jesus did not say, "Make me what you want." He said, "Learn from me." He did not tell us to model him after ourselves or our society. He told us to model ourselves after him. "Follow me," he said. This kind of following requires the same work as any relationship that you have. It requires whatever effort it takes to move past the illusions we may have about a person, so that we might come to know and love the person for who she or he is. Only in coming to know the person that Jesus was and is can we maintain a true relationship with him, a relationship without which the very name Christian makes no sense. Perhaps we can take our cue from little children. Didn't Christ tell us to be like them? Many of these little ones have great imaginations. They try themselves out as their heroes. You'll hear them say, "I'm Tarzan," or "I'm a rock star," or "I'm Superman," or "I'm an astronaut." Or they act out their favorite hero. I remember one Easter when a child told me that he was Jesus. Many adults may think that this is taking it a bit far, but isn't that one of the highest forms of praise? And isn't that a great way to get to know someone? In fact, that is precisely where Jesus leaves us in the gospel today. Anyone who wishes to come after me must take up their cross and follow me. Let's follow the lead of a child. Let's be like Jesus so that he can tell his story more accurately by how we live and how we grow. I'd like to end our scripture or our sermon, our message today, with the words of the scripture. And as we think about who Jesus is, who do we say that Jesus is? And as we make time for us to really understand who Jesus is for us, I think it is very important that we listen to what Jesus said. And if you notice, when I was reading the scripture this morning, he talked first to the disciples. And then in verse 34, he called the crowd along with his disciples, and he said to them. And it's important that we realize that he said this to all. He wanted the word to be gotten out. If any want to become my followers, that's us as Christians, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Folks, that is the perfect place to really begin to make this Jesus our Jesus. Not just the ones that the ideas and the understandings that we learn from our childhood and from our Sunday school teachers, but the one who wants to be in relationship with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of our lives through eternity. And this is the one who is offering us a relationship and a cross. Amen.